Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. One, two, three, four. Hi, Steve, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Steve Cochran on show number 977 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Phone number 312-981-7200. Did get better in Houston overnight. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse, and there's probably another 36 hours of rain still to come. We will check in regularly with Ryan Burrow on the scene for us in Houston. And coincidentally, we had booked this before, but Scott Peresinski, inducted into the Astronaut Hall of Fame in 2016, and one of NASA's finest, is based in Houston. So we can talk to him as well. You may need a rocket to get out of that mess.
No kidding.
Jordan Goodman talks money in the 7 o'clock hour, including rising gas prices, with the majority of the oil that we use to make the gas in this country coming out of the Gulf. You can imagine that gas prices are jumping and will continue to jump. I've heard everything from 15 to 25 cents a gallon over the next few days.
They haven't jumped here yet, have they?
I haven't looked.
I filled up on Sunday, and they were still...
I follow GasBuddy.com, and the guy that runs that website said 23 cents already in some southern states.
How about you? Have you seen gas prices go up?
No, I have not. No, not here.
Okay. Later on, some cooking in studio. Patty Vasquez in studio. Dean Richards, of course, is regular this morning, and his regular hit this morning. And Kid of the Week, all coming up on the program today. Shall we commence with the top six at six?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Top six at six. People are saying, Steve. And I say, what? They say, what is this top six at six you speak of? Well, each morning, Dave, what we try to do is give you a little start to your day. With six stories that we know you're going to be talking about. And since we do it in the 6 o'clock hour, therefore it's the top six at six.
And you have your top six at six team that puts the top six at six together.
Exactly. That's an exclusive department here on the program. Separate floor. Sponsored as always by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Rainfall totals in some parts of southeast Texas will top 50 inches of rain, possibly by the end of the day. Certainly by the end of the week. This prediction from the computer models, the often ridiculed computer models that weather forecasters reference, has been dead on since Saturday night. Saturday night, there was a consensus of computer belief that has held true throughout. Unfortunately, everybody was hoping it was wrong. It has not been wrong. And the biggest problem now is Hurricane Harvey turned into Tropical Storm Harvey and has fish-hooked back into the Gulf and re-strengthened and picked up more moisture to dump right over Houston again, as well as heading towards New Orleans. There was some controversy yesterday about why didn't you tell everybody in Houston to leave? Okay, a mandatory evacuation of a city is a big deal. A city the size of Houston or Chicago, it can't be done safely. It cannot be done safely. And the idea that you would have had the vision or the belief on Saturday, and really it would have had to start like last Wednesday, to say we're going to get 50 inches of rain by this time next week, people wouldn't have left. They just wouldn't have left.
I might even add here that I think evacuating in a city that big can't be done at all.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe a few hundred thousand people, but you're talking millions of people. Where would all of those people go?
Where would they all go? Right. How would you all get them out of the city? Mm-hmm. And the one time there was a mandatory evacuation of Houston previously, I guess it was probably in the 60s.
Rita, for Hurricane Rita.
Was that the 60s? Mm-hmm.
I think so, yep.
Yeah, and people died on the roads.
Yeah, like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so very high death toll.
So I thought the emergency management folks in Houston, who were very firm and tired of answering the question, were dead on about it. So we don't need to be judging people in the middle of the storm as it continues. On the third try, the Illinois House has approved the education funding bill. This should mean that we don't have to talk about this anymore, because it should mean that the schools will stay open and that everybody's going to get paid. And most importantly, the kids are going to get educated, and there'll be some more equitable funding of schools. I know you're saying, Steve, what color is the sky in your world? Well, in this case, let's make it blue until it turns gray again, shall we? Next. Governor Rauner signs the immigration and automatic voter registration bills into law yesterday. The immigration bill is sort of a adaptive form of a sanctuary city, making Illinois a sanctuary state. If you're against that concept, before you lose your mind, read deeper than the headline and look into it. We'll talk about it a little bit later as well. The North Koreans are at it again, specifically Kim Jong. Why do I keep going to the Pyongyang Supercuts? That, because they're at Supercuts with a K. Supercuts, because this haircut's terrible. It makes me cranky, and then I fire missiles. The North Koreans fired a missile over Japanese airspace, or through Japanese airspace yesterday. It's prompted an angry response from Tokyo. But again, Kim Jong-un doesn't care if you're angry. Kim Jong-un doesn't care. So, they, you know, 2 weeks ago we were talking about this. Before all of the nightmare that Houston is living with began. Even a week ago. A week ago, President Trump was talking about how Kim Jong-un respects us. You can't say, if they do this, we're going to do that. This is what Barack Obama's problem was in Syria, the red line issue. All right, Donald Trump promised fire and fury. You know, did he think it was a movie The Rock made? Fire and Fury, showing now at the Pyongyang Triplex, Tripleplex, whatever the movie theater there is called. You can't threaten him into submission. It's just a nightmare.
I believe he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. Respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that.
They won't tell you that because it makes no sense. Listen to the sentence structure. Just the sentence structure. I'm not an English teacher, but listen to the sentence structure again. This is Donald Trump last week, literally a week ago, on Kim Jong-un.
I respect the fact that I believe he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. Respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that.
Can you guys give me a transcript of that?
What does that mean?
I respect that.
I don't even know what that is.
I respect that he...
Write it out for me, because I got to see it on paper. Stop it when I tell you to stop it, Jake. Play it again.
I respect the fact that I believe he is starting to respect us.
Stop
I respect
right there.
That fact.
I respect the fact that I believe
right.
that he is starting to respect us. So I respect my beliefs.
Right. Doesn't he sound like a contestant in a Miss America pageant?
Yeah.
They always say, I believe. I believe.
Right. I respect the fact that I believe that he has started. So therefore, I thought about it. I respect my own beliefs.
Right.
All right, continue.
They won't tell you that.
Of course they won't tell you that.
Oh.
Of course they won't tell you. I don't know who they is. Do you have the other half of that? Right, hit it.
And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. Right, they won't tell you that.
All right, so I respect my beliefs, and maybe something positive will come out of my beliefs, but probably not. Oh, yeah. That's what he said.
And they won't
That's
tell you
the
that.
That's the translation.
They won't tell you that.
They won't tell you that I respect my beliefs, even though nothing positive is going to come out
and
of
plus,
it.
Plus, we don't know who they are anyway.
Well, they are either the media or North Korea.
The amazing thing is the fatigue we all have with him. Because you don't have time or the energy to break it down. But that's one of the dumbest things a president has ever said. And it's just one more thing that fell out of his mouth.
And minor correction, too, earlier, it's the in North Korea, it's the super happy cuts.
Oh, it's Super Happy Cup, but still with a K.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Exactly. next.
They won't tell you that.
Oh, please. Hillary Clinton's going to be in Chicago at the end of October for her book tour. Democrats all over the country are asking her to stay in her tree fort and not come out and talk. But she will, and she's a private citizen now, and she'll be out selling her book. And she's welcome here. We'll certainly make the request to book her on the
show.
She's
been in the studio before.
She has been in the studio before, and she's been on the show before. Yeah. And then there's this. How far has it fallen for the New York Jets? The New York Jets have announced Josh McCown is their starting quarterback. 11 teams on his Wikipedia page that he's played for so far.
Can you name them?
Those are Steve Cochran-like numbers.
Yes. Well, a couple were practice squad teams.
Oh, they were?
Teams. Yes, okay. So he never played. Name three teams he played for aside from the Bears.
Cleveland.
Cleveland was his last team.
Oakland.
Oakland, that's two.
And the River City Mud Rats. I don't know. What's the third?
How about
one?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Remember, they signed him after he played well for the Bears and relief for the injured Jay Cutler.
And then the kid with the crab legs in his pants came in and took his job.
Jameis Winston. He took Mike Lennon's job.
Oh, that was it.
Yes.
Oh, it's an all twisted thing. 6:23. I would ask you a sports question before we move on. And, of course, Top 6 again brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. And this is a minor piece of the Houston story. But the Houston Astros are playing the Texas Rangers.
Correct.
And in playing the Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros don't have a stadium that you can get to unless you're a strong swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make sense that the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros, who have a series at the end of September, would simply flip their home series.
Right.
In other words, Houston could play Texas this weekend. Mm-hmm. Texas could then play in Houston at the end of September when things have calmed down, and presumably you could get to Minute Maid Park. What did the Texas Rangers say?
Texas Rangers said, no thanks. We will. You can come play your series here, but we're not playing that series at the end of September in Houston.
And the reason they said this is because the Texas Rangers general manager said it would inconvenience their fans.
It would inconvenience their fans. While the fans of the Astros have lost homes.
They're literally underwater.
Yeah.
People are dying. People have died.
It's one of the most inconsiderate, dumbest decisions by the management team of a sports franchise I've ever heard.
I can't
imagine what got into them, why they would have said something like that, and why Daniels, the GM, particularly would have said it.
There'll probably be more developments on that today. As
I
got to
think they're going to back down on that.
I
mean, they've already moved the series to Tampa Bay.
It's idiotic.
But it's crazy.
Meanwhile, a man of God may have to say he's sorry. Joel Olstein's story. That's next on 720 WGN. And Ryan Burrow is live in Houston. Let's go there now. Where are you this morning?
Well, you know, we're still hanging out at the hotel, actually right next door to the Joel Olstein Church that has actually kind of come under fire here for not opening up to these evacuees. Let me step back for a second and tell you that the Red Cross shelter that I believe I spoke to you at yesterday had a capacity of 5,000. They've now taken in 8,800 people. They're not going to turn anyone away, but things are getting very, very tight there right now. They're pushing cots together. They're trying to situate people. Some are sleeping, some are sleeping on the floor, you know, and of course, there are going to be issues in the coming days about, you know, restroom use and, you know, all the things that come when you cram a small city essentially into a convention center space.
Yeah, and people that are grieving what they've already lost and not knowing what they've lost and all the tensions that go with that. So you were in Lakewood, is that right?
Well, yeah, it's right next door here, and one of the criticisms that Joel Olstein, the televangelist, who you know is featured on television all the time, this is a mega church.
Estimated net worth $50 million.
Yeah, has 16,000 people capacity here, and it is essentially dark, and we are on high ground here, so people have been tweeting out that they really need to open the doors to evacuees, especially when you've got all this pressure going on at this convention center. Initially, Olstein had said that the church itself was underwater. It's not, at least from what we can see. There may be parts in the basement that are flooded, but it does not appear that. Now, granted, the staff may not be able to get there because many of the highways and interstates are shut down, but as of right now, it does look like a big, dark, empty space.
Has there been an update? I saw mixed stories this morning. One said that he would open it, and others said that he was sticking to his story. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, the latest that we've heard is the church says it's willing to help in any capacity needed, and if it needs to be used as a rescue shelter, they're more than willing to help. It doesn't sound as though, it sounds, at least from their last correspondence, that, hey, if the city or Red Cross tell us they need this space, it's all theirs. But they say that the doors are open at all times. There is one door that is open.
Just doesn't look good, you know.
It doesn't. It's a dark church when they're, you know, people are crammed into a small spot.
Yeah, not good. All right, now let's talk about what really matters here, and that's the state of the city overall. Is it still raining there?
It is, and will likely rain for the rest of the day, maybe even into tomorrow morning. The good news is some of these flood warnings are starting to pull down here today, so hopefully that means the rain is slightly easing. I don't know if that'll make people feel good at all. It still continues to rain one form or another, whether it's hard or light rain. Houston Fire Chief just telling GMA a few moments ago that they still have 1,000 people waiting rescue, so they're going to try to make that once the day starts to break here a little bit. And, the phone calls are still coming in for help.
The great tragedy here, aside from the loss of property, is the loss of life. There's really no question that death toll is going to go up because we don't know how many people may have been submerged in cars or in their homes that still have to be found, right?
Yeah, exactly. We just got word from a family member. They told the sheriff's office here that it was a family, grandparents, grandchildren. There were 7 people in the vehicle, and it got swept away. The driver was able to get out, and they believe that those people are dead. So right now, state and county officials have the death toll in the state. This includes Corpus Christi at 7, and then these would be in addition to that. So potentially 13 once that is confirmed.
For people that have been to Houston and primarily downtown Houston, what's the difference there flood-wise versus where you are?
You know, it really is block to block and street to street. There are places that don't seem to have quite as much flooding. But on the other hand, too, if you've got interstates that go down, that dip down, I mean, those are flooded and you see flooded out cars in there. So, you know, it's all kind of in relation to where the bayous are at, where the reservoirs are, where the streams are. And by the way, those reservoirs, I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, that they released some of the water in to protect the dam, did flood those neighborhoods. And a lot of the people who came in to the evacuation center yesterday afternoon and evening were the direct result of that. They said the water was up to their chest. They had to flee to the top of a school where a helicopter came and picked them up.
Last question, because I know you got to run, and then we'll check back with you later as you have time. Again, it's Ryan Burrow working for ABC and us in Houston. The people that you see, are they mostly fatigued? Are they angry? What's their emotion?
They're zombies. I mean, they did the best they could to fight the water, and then they had to figure out a way to get into a place where they could be rescued. And they come in, and they're grateful that they're, you know, in shelter, and they've got bathrooms, and they've got power, and they've got food. But, over the next couple of days, these are going to be tough because they're going to be crammed in like sardines into a small area, and they're going to have to live that way until they can figure out what their next move is.
I think we remember the violence and things that broke out in New Orleans after this, and human nature is what it is. Is security appropriate next door?
It's very, very tight. They check people on the way in, and they do have medical staff, and they're actually asking for more help in that department because you got a lot of people who didn't bring their meds, their medications, whether it be health or mental health, you know, and they people with bumps and scrapes and bruises as well. So, yeah, they've got to staff up there and continue that staffing 24/7 for what could be days, maybe even weeks.
It's Ryan Burrow. Thank you, my friend.
Take care.
We'll check back with him later. He's doing a great job covering this terrible story in Houston. At 6:34, pray for Houston. We're back after this with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, we continue. Allstate believes good starts young and work starts inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of all of that, we need you to help us recognize kids that go above and beyond for their community. Nominating you for the Allstate Kid of the Week. Kid you know could be featured here and win great prizes, Amazon gift cards, Lumel 90s pizza. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a child between 9 and 18. That you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week, and then every Tuesday morning we do it. Now we bring in a recent Kid of the Week because, well, A, we like her a lot, and secondly, she can help us promote the fact that you all get your entries in before, you know, the line gets a little too long, and it's Anari Smith. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Nice to meet you in person.
Nice to meet you, too.
And nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I want to say hi to your seatmate here, your friend here, Sheila Stennis. Sheila, you and Anari go back 6-7 minutes now, don't you?
Yes, a long time.
All right. And you are an Allstate agent?
I am.
Just moved your business.
I did. We've been there at our initial location, and we relocated at 100 Madison Street. We've been there about 3 years.
And the relocation is a big deal.
It is. Yeah. It's an investment. We remodeled, and it's very nice. We would like to, for everyone to come out and view it.
All right. What's your phone number if people want to come?
708-358-8100.
Anytime we have agents on the show, we always talk about the fact that it's a great business for, you know, many, many, many people. And you don't know until you dive in and take a look. And if you just go to the website, I talk for a living, and if you go to the website, there's lots of links there to find out how you can be an agent. Were you doing something else before you were an agent, or has this been your career?
I was. I worked in corporate America. My dad was an entrepreneur, supersized. He had 36 businesses, so we've been in business all the time.
Wow.
Not by choice, but by force.
Right.
But so I knew the bug was in me. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I did a little research and did a little digging, but Allstate's opportunity was just incredible.
Yeah, so we highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Anari, what do you think you want to do after high school?
I want to go into real estate.
You do? Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Where's that come from?
I just changed my mind.
Yeah, you love the idea of just helping people find homes and things of that nature?
Yes.
Do you watch the house shows on TV? You know, there's 943 of them.
Really?
Do you watch all those shows that are on?
I watch some.
Yeah, what's your favorite one?
Flipping, the ones in Las Vegas, The Couple.
Oh, The Couple in Vegas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that a good one, Sandberg? Yeah, she says, yeah, that's a good one. All right, so here's the deal. We want people to know that you can nominate your kid for Kid of the Week. Kids you know, kids you may not know, kids you just want us to know. And again, it's easy to do. You just go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry. But here you are. You're 14, so you're going to be a sophomore?
I am a sophomore.
You're a sophomore. Oh, school started?
Yes, 2 weeks ago.
How's it going?
It's going good so far.
Well, it's a pretty good scam that we got you out of the first hour of classes probably by the time you get back.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. But I know you're a thinker. I know you're concerned about the community and mm-hmm. things that go on. What's your number one concern? What do you want other kids to be concerned about as well and thinking about?
Their education.
Yeah? And are we doing it the right way by your way of thinking?
Yes, kind of.
Kind of. What would you change?
We need to have more mentors in our community to help out the students, because people may say that they're helping, but it's not really affecting the things to make it happen.
And some people need more help than others.
Yes.
So mentors are a big deal in that regard, too, I'm sure.
Yes.
So mentors could be anybody, because the teachers have an awful lot of pressure on themselves to try to just mm-hmm. do their day. Does your school have a setup for mentor volunteer types?
No, we mentored the kids across the street from us, though.
Okay. Is that the club that I was reading about that you're involved with?
I'm By the Hand?
Yeah.
Yes, that's my after-school program. It's not connected with my school.
All right, tell me about that.
It's an organization that it's a place to go to get off the streets, and it's like a safe house.
Okay.
And it's also good. It's just a good organization. It helps a lot.
Is this for kids that maybe, shouldn't be going home and just hanging out?
That
after school, I'm talking about?
Yes, it's an after school program.
Yeah, so this gives kids a safe place to go and hang out. So, well, that's kind of a cool idea. Is it your idea or somebody else's?
Somebody else's.
But you were happy to be involved.
Yes.
So who do you want to mention that's involved with the program that we should give props to?
Miss Tatiana and Mr. Emmanuel.
Yes, and yes. God bless both of you. Keep up the fine work. ByTheHand.org? ByTheHand.org. We can support you there. And give, yeah, that way? That's great. And Sheila, you know about By the Hand now, huh?
I do. My colleague, Jose Gomez, and Allstate Foundation, you know, they always give back to the community. They gave financial, and then all of our agents, we kind of all got together and went in physically and worked in the By the Hands Club program.
Very cool. And, you know, I'm going to make you jump on a mic if you don't mind, sir. One of you guys come on over, grab a mic, because I think what you're doing is important, and I want people to know about it. So, yeah, right over here to this open one, if you don't mind. Thought you were just going to sit here and watch. How'd that work out for you?
No, that was actually a good idea.
All right, so tell everybody your name.
Emmanuel Williams is my name.
And the By the Hand organization started how?
It started out of a thought from actually a business owner about 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago. Donita Travis is her name. She was working in business. She had a pretty big company, a growing company here in Chicago, and she had a heart to mentor children here in the city.
Sure.
Originally Cabrini Green neighborhood, and it just grew from there. Now they exist not only in Cabrini Green, but Austin, also Oakgill Gardens, and also Inglewood.
So we sit back and we hear in the media every night bad stories coming out of these neighborhoods. It's a good story.
Yeah, absolutely good story.
And the majority of the stories coming out of these neighborhoods are good stories. Yeah. We need to tell those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And they should be heard about, because you hear a lot of really sad stories. But you have examples like Anari, and she represents not only herself, but a lot of other kids who come out of our communities are doing really great things. So,
with what details you can discuss here, because it's a safe house, as we said, which is important. Mm-hmm. How does it work?
So it's not only a safe house. It is a place of safety for students, but it's also it's more so academically oriented. So helping students with homework. We offer extracurricular activities. We go on different field trips, exposing students to different things in the city. This past year, we actually took a trip, a college tour in Wisconsin. Last year, we went to New York City.
We
offer different options and different programs for them. And so,
what do you need from us? Can you donate to the site?
Yeah, you could. You could donate at bythehand.org, actually. Okay. And if you wanted to volunteer, you could go to the website and sign up to be a volunteer at either one of our sites across the city. So come
out and just mentor and hang out with the kids?
Yeah, come out
and
mentor.
Stuff?
Yeah, the process of volunteering is not long. It's not drawn out. So, yeah, anybody could pretty much be a volunteer if they...
Imagine the trouble I could start with these guys if I came out of
right,
school.
Right.
Bythehand.org, that's the website, and we hope you'll check it out. But God bless you, man. I appreciate the work that both of you guys are doing.
Absolutely.
So, and Nari, thank you for all you've done to the ripe old age of 14?
15
now. I got nothing but belief in you and your future. And when you are elected president, I just want you to know I'd like the first interview.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and thank you.
I didn't hear a yes there, Steve.
Well, she hasn't agreed to run officially yet.
Oh, okay.
She'll do that, yes. And Sheila, congrats on the business.
Great. Thank you.
And give everybody the number of the agency again, the phone number.
Yes, the phone number is 708-358-8100.
And thank you for your contributions to By the Hand.
I just
want to
say really quick, Steve, thank you as well and Allstate for just highlighting the positive for the youth. We know all the negative, but it's so good to see positive energy, and hopefully it's contagious to other youth.
Well, that's well said. It does drive me crazy, and I know it does you as well, when you've got neighborhoods that are struggling, and the last thing you need is just over and over again to be telling these stories that represent such a small fraction of the population, when the good people in those neighborhoods just want the same thing everybody wants. Just get up, go to work, go to school, provide a life for your family, and be safe and have fun. I mean, Anari and kids, I mean... They ought to be worried about two things. Have a good time, work hard in school. That should be it, not whether or not you're safe. But that's why By the Hand is so important, to make sure you have that kind of environment. So good for them, and good for you. Anari, you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you.
Dave would like you to co-host the show. We'll
talk about it, actually. Anari, if you don't mind.
All right, well, let's do traffic here first. And don't forget, Allstate's Kid of the Week. It's easy, again, to tell us about a kid you think we ought to know about. Simply go to WGNradio.com/contest and submit an entry, and we will take it from there. 6:55, more in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. A toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
7:13, got any money? Probably like to keep it, wouldn't you? Get ready. Jordan Goodman joins us today. We'll try to make you a little more.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Jordan Goodman, my friend, moneyanswers.com. Tom joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. You make North Korea very provocative, I must say.
Well, it's nice to talk to you again. And I wanted to spend some time on the new economy, the Trump economy.
Okay.
But I think we need to start here, and that is the oil and gas business. What will be left of it after this week's weather, and how fast will it recover, and how much is gas going to cost us?
So gas is up about 20 to 30 cents a gallon because the refinery is about 15% of the nation's refineries is shut down right now. Who knows how long it's going to take to get it back up? I mean, it's still raining in the Houston area. Another 10 inches, another 20 inches, who knows how much it's going to be there. So we're going to lose a lot of refinery capacity in the short term. So it's interesting because gas prices are up, but crude oil prices are down because there's no place for them to send it. So they've got to shut down production of oil because there's no place for them to, the pipelines are full and there's no refinery to receive the thing. So there's too much oil out there right now. It's a very strange situation.
So, but it's a supply and demand thing or supply and availability to get thing. So the oil can sit in the tanks, but we can't process the gas.
Exactly. But the tanks are already full. So there's no place to put them.
We've
had a surplus. That's why oil has been about 45, 47, something like that for a while, because we just got too much of the stuff. And so there's no place to put it. So like the Permian Basin down in Texas, which is the big producing area, they're going to have to shut down wells because there's no place for them to send it. You know, normally they would send it to the refineries in the Houston area. So it's going to disrupt the entire supply chain. But in the short term, you're going to see gas prices going up 20 to 30 cents a gallon.
All right. So you should fill up early, you know, get 70, 80 gas cans, fill those up.
Yeah, that would be good. Yep. Yeah.
Not
store
smart.
Them in your backyard. Yeah.
Not smart. all right. Let's talk about the Trump economy now. We have new news overnight last night that Trump's inner circle is breaking off piece by piece by piece. And one of his main advisors and legal minds tried to strike a deal with Putin's inner circle folks to put the Trump Tower or a Trump Tower up in Moscow. The deal eventually fell apart. But this is from the guy, the president of the United States, said, I have no dealings in Russia. I've got nothing. Haven't had it for years. Nothing in Russia. I mean, all of these pieces of the puzzle continue to fall into place. So let's say this goes the way I believe it'll go, and that's with Donald J. Trump leaving office. Not just well before his 4 years are up, maybe before the end of this year. What does that do to the economy when that happens?
Well, assuming Pence takes over, I think people have more confidence, actually, because Pence would actually get the agenda done without all the distractions all that. So I think actually people would like that on Wall Street because they want tax cuts done. They want infrastructure done. But all these constant distractions and the Mueller inquiry, and of course, Pence has nothing to do with that whatsoever, I think would give people confidence in this situation. So it's odd but true. I think the president leaving would actually be positive in certain ways, just on the economic front.
So the chance of any major legislation getting done from an economic standpoint while Trump is still in office appears to be nil. And by the way, not least of which, as far as reasons go, is because he has decided to take it out on his own party. Allegedly he's a Republican, take it out on his own party and the leaders of his party with no respect for what they do and how they do their job in Congress, a co-equal branch.
And he's making it hard. I mean, we have a deadline in the next month, Steve, that if we do not raise the national debt ceiling and pass a budget, the government's going to shut down and we're going to default on our national debt. Those are two not very good things, actually.
Right.
And now who knows what's real and what's not, but in his speech in Phoenix last week, he said, I'm not going to sign the debt extension if you don't give me my Mexican wall. Well, I mean, that is a complete non-starter. First of all, no Democrats are going to sign on to that whatsoever.
Right.
And you don't hold the entire world's economies hostage for the Mexican wall. But that's, I mean, again, he might back down from it, but even saying something like that upset Wall Street. On top of the North Korean situation, now we had another missile last night go towards Japan, and Trump responds, and you got two hotheads here with nuclear missiles. It's not a good situation. That's why the markets are down this morning. People want safe havens in this kind of crazy time. I mean, the debt ceiling is really bad, but I'm really concerned about war with North Korea. I do not think that would be good. Just to be very, very clear, nuclear war is not good for anything.
That's the thing about Jordan Goodman. He makes these kind of definitive statements. He's not pussyfooting around. Here is the amazing thing about today between Houston and the president and everything else. The North Koreans fired a missile into Japan airspace last night. We're barely talking about it.
We should be talking about it because that's what people are really worried about. All right, so let's say they do it. I mean, the stronger the sanctions, the more they are provocative. Right? It's not supposed to work that way. I mean, we had 15-0 in the UN Security Council with an embargo and sanctions against them. And what they immediately respond, well, let's put four ICBMs on Guam. It's like, okay, well, that didn't work too well.
Right.
So now let's do it again. And, you know, we've got nuclear submarines. We've got aircraft carriers. We've got South Korean and U.S. Naval exercises right there. You know, we're ready to strike at any point. And he responds by doing three short-term missiles over the weekend and then a long-range one yesterday over Japan. So he doesn't seem like he's responding to all this pressure particularly well here.
Experts on Asia in general are fast to say we need to as much as cripple the Chinese economy because they're money laundering, engaged in money laundering, and possibly even supplying help to back-channel Iran to help North Korea build their missiles, all the bad things that go on. But there's no way to destroy the Chinese economy without destroying our economy.
Those are the two largest economies in the world.
And we're completely intertwined, aren't we?
Completely. We have about a $500 billion deficit with China because we like all their cheap, good stuff. And sometimes it's not even cheap. They have the sophisticated stuff now as well. So, I mean, they're, in theory, putting pressure on North Korea. That about 90% of North Korea's exports are to China. The rest is to Iran, right? That's where they're getting the missiles from, and the technology is from Iran, by the way. And so China, you know, has the leverage, but they're not fully pushing them there. This is the worst-case scenario for China is a united Korea with the United States forces right on their border. They do not want that. They like the current situation, a divided Korea, kind of a sub-state to them. But the worst thing that they could see is a war where you have millions of refugees from North Korea coming into China. They don't like the situation, but they're not doing enough to get under control. I mean, they're not happy that Kim put a missile out last night.
Right.
And so what this is doing is it's helping the safe havens. So gold is now over $1,300 an ounce. It's had a pretty big move from about $1,200 a month or so ago. Treasury bonds are having a huge move here. The long-term 10-year Treasury is down to about 2.1%. Back in February, it's about 2.6. I've mentioned before, it's one of the most popular things with your listeners are these commercial mortgage bridge loans, because that's a way of getting a 6% yield very safely over 1 year. You get monthly checks, get your money back at the end of the year with no commissions. A website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. I mean, this is what you want, is safe havens in this kind of crazy environment.
Yeah, the most solid foundation you could possibly have. All right, we'll get into more of your money next with The Money Man, moneyanswers.com. Look at that website during the break, and we'll come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I respect the fact that I believe he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. Respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that.
Just so you know, Jordan, I broke that down on the Telestrator.
Yes.
Basically what the president said there is, I respect the fact that I believe that something good can happen, but probably won't. They won't
Very
tell
clear.
You that.
Yeah, and then right after that, he fires four missiles.
Just don't. Oh, get used to it. Let's get the moving vans to the White House quickly. I don't blame a single person that voted for Trump and believed he would keep his promises and not be a loon. Well, it didn't work out. And for the greater good of America, something's got to give, and he's the one that's got to go. Let's talk about credit cards. Credit cards is something we haven't discussed in a while. And even though it is no longer the number one debt bubble in America, it's still a threat every day, right?
Over $1 trillion, and we're adding about $20 billion in new credit card debt per month, it's very easy to get, and it's like a drug dealer giving you your drugs or a hangman giving you the noose because people take it, and so they're getting very high interest rates, and often they say, well, I'll do it because I can get the frequent flyer miles. There are better ways of getting cheaper airfares
right
through frequent flyer miles. So two things you can do. First of all, get better credit cards. You don't have to be putting up with these ridiculously high rates at all. There's a website, guidetocreditcard.com, where all the best deals are.
And should you do a credit card with benefits?
Yes, you should. I like to say concentrate your spending on a particular card that's giving you the benefits you want. Now, it may be a rebate. You can get as much as 5% cash back. That might be best for you. Say you do want to take a trip, maybe get an airline, you know, frequent flyer card, but concentrate your spending on one or two cards and, you know, make it work for you. What people do is they get 10 different cards or something like that. Their spending is spread all over the different cards. And by the time they get a reward, it expires. So that doesn't work too well.
Right.
So at that website, guidetocreditcard.com are all the different ones.
Guide to credit card.
Singular. Guidetocreditcard.com.
Okay.
And also, if you have challenges with your credit history, which definitely happens with your audience, I get their emails. You do what's called a secured credit card, where you put up a certain amount of money, $500, $1,000.
Collateral, baby.
They'll give you a credit card for that amount. And if you start paying it responsibly over a year, you kind of graduate from a secured card to an unsecured card. So people often ask me, how can I reestablish credit if I've had issues? That's a way of doing it. And those listed are listed at this guidetocreditcard.com as well. So that's the first thing, is get better credit cards. Second thing is get nonprofit credit counseling to help you, because they're going to get deals you can't get on your own. If you're behind or you're paying just the minimums on your credit card, it'll take you the rest of your life to pay these things off, basically 30 years or something like that. So what they do is they have deals with Bank of America and Chase and Citibank and Wells Fargo to get you rates you can't get on your own, typically 6, 7%, something like that. And then you pay them, they pay the credit card companies, and over, whatever, 2, 3 years, you're out of debt. It's considered a neutral on your credit score. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling, cambridgecredit.org. 800-897-2200. They've helped a lot of Jan listeners over the years, so that could help you out as well.
Dave?
Well, Jordan, I just wanted to say I was shopping for a credit card a few weeks ago, and I went to moneyanswers.com, and I went to guidetocreditcard.com, and I found it extremely helpful, and I was able to get a – because I didn't want just an airline card or just a hotel chain card, but I wanted something that had some good benefits. I'm going to pay it off every month.
Right.
So I wasn't as concerned about the interest rate. And it's –
what did you end up getting?
The Chase Sapphire Preferred.
Oh, that's very, very good benefits on that one.
Yeah, and I just thought that it offered enough perks – but it came highly rated, recommended, and it's a real easy way to find the best credit card. Thank you for the help.
Well, glad to help.
There's a live endorsement right there.
The Sapphire card actually is a religion. It's actually not a credit card.
So you have to go to services.
You do. People just pray to that card because its benefits are so – in fact, Chase Manhattan Bank took a hit on that because the benefits were so great. They were overwhelmed with the amount of benefits they were giving out to people. So that's a good choice.
Well done by you, Dave Ennett. All right, quickly before we go to the big story and then some more time with Jordan Goodman, in the big story special edition today with Domitive, Vic is in for Andre. He'll have that in just a second. Before we get to that, though, let's just briefly talk about student loans because kids are back in school. If you're paying off a student loan or worried about how to finance the next one, what advice do you have?
So the first thing is consolidate them. If you've got a whole bunch of different federal loans at different interest rates, you can consolidate them into one at the lowest possible rate. A website for that is consolidatecollege.com. That's a place called the Student Loan Help Center. It can be simple. It can be complicated. If you, for example, if you're behind, if you're delinquent or defaulting, there are still ways of getting you kind of a fresh start through the consolidation program, but it's hard for you, the individual, to figure that out. So that's consolidatecollege.com. And the second thing is you can refinance your student loans to typically 2 to 3%, depending on your situation, but much lower than you're paying now. You'd combine federal loans, parent plus loans, private loans, all these things into one in the 2 to 3% area. The place for that's called Credible, credible.com, and then do /moneyanswers. They know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment. They've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. Credible. They're actually based in Chicago as well. They started about 3 years ago, and it's actually not just one place. It's like 5 or 6 different lenders that offer different programs, and you pick the one that's best for you. So it's kind of like a clearinghouse for ways to refinance your student loans. So credible.com/moneyanswers or 855-870-6005. we're now up to $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. Each year we graduate, we add about $100 billion in new student loan debt.
That's crazy. And as far as financing the future, you like the student loan government program still?
Well, it's the cheapest out there. The best solution is to save and invest up front so you don't have to have any loans. That would be nice.
Right.
But the tuitions are so high right now. There's now 150 schools with tuitions over $60,000 a year. Like what would Northwestern be? Like 65?
Oh, I bet
like
it's
that.
70 probably now, right?
I think
all in?
All in probably. Yeah. I would think.
Yeah. So this is very typical these days. And people are really questioning, is it worth it? Is the pedigree worth it? And some people saying on the margin, no, even not going to school at all, doing it online. I mean, there's a whole online world now. There's something called Udacity. There's another one called Coursera. We can get high quality school. And if you come out with the skills as opposed to the pigskin, you know, the degree, maybe that's what people need.
It's Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com. More in a moment. First, let's get to a quick break. Come back with a big story in a moment as well on 720 WGN.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Back with Jordan Goodman. If you go to the MoneyAnswers.com website, scroll down on the homepage, and right there, you can ask Jordan a question. Just take you a second. He answers all his email.
I do.
All right. So in the short amount of time that we have with you all the time, we can't possibly get everything in. What is troubling you most financially this morning?
Well, North Korea, clearly. I mean, that's what's making the markets going down. I mean, let's just take a scenario, Steve. Let's say that they lob some missiles at Guam, which is what they've talked about doing. That's part of the United States. That's a direct attack on the United States. We then respond with all these things. We've got an aircraft carrier. We've got submarines. We've got everything right there, ready to go. We respond to taking some of them out. They would then immediately unleash the missiles and the artillery they have aimed at South Korea, which could cause 20 million casualties. By the way, we might cancel the Olympics while we're at it because they're going to be in South Korea next February.
You know, that in and of itself, let's say somehow peace is maintained between now and then. Can you imagine those games going off?
It's going to be hard to believe with that thing hanging over.
Right.
You know, maybe they'll move it back to Sochi. You know, who knows what's going to happen? So, I mean, then so they unleash the barrage at South Korea. We then basically wipe out North Korea. You know, I don't know if we'd conventional nuclear, but we would wipe them out. Say there's nuclear involved here. Just think of the cloud, the nuclear cloud that would come from all this. I mean, Fukushima in Japan was hit by a wave from the tsunami, and that whole region of Japan is still off limits years later.
This is the end of the world as we know it if this continues and goes on.
And that's not good for stocks or investors or anything.
No, it's really not.
The safe havens. I mentioned the three safe havens. Gold, which has gone up, which I think will go up more, which you can either do physical gold or you can do a gold exchange-traded fund, GLD, or the gold mining shares, GDX. Those are the three, you know, pure ways to play gold. Treasury bonds are another safe place. I think yields, which are now 2.1, could go down to zero.
Would you get out of individual stocks now?
I think I'd take some off the table. I really would. We've had such a huge move for such a long time, based on hope, not reality. And I agree with you that I don't think we're going to get any major legislative changes this year, maybe never. And so that hope is not based on reality to some extent. I think taking some off the table, gold is one place, treasury bonds, and the other one, the commercial mortgage bridge loans, which have been very popular with your listeners to get 6% in a 0% world. And that's all domestic kind of bridge loans as well. I think that's what you want to do. I mean, that's what I'm worried about right now, because it just seems to be ratcheting up every day. The more we squeeze Kim, the more he provokes us back. I don't see how he's going to back down, frankly.
The one sense of calm that we had previously is one of our researchers, a great guest named Michael Osello, who is an expert on Asia. And he said, until Kim believes it's over and therefore becomes either suicidal or homicidal, he won't push it to the brink. But this whole Obama red line, Trump red line thing that's going on, this is the problem, because he'll continue to push it until he's told not to. And then
by whom? Who's he listening to?
That's just it. If China can't control him and we can't do anything to affect China's behavior, it's a bad path.
he is being homicidal. I mean, the missile he let off last night aimed at Japan could have landed on Japan.
No doubt. No doubt. That's an absolute act of war in a normal case scenario.
Correct. Correct. And we are ready to strike right back. And then he'll strike right back. So the markets have not really factored that in. They don't think it's real. If it actually happens, if it actually happens, Steve, I think the Dow drops 10,000 points from where we are now, 22,000. I think it dropped 10,000 because people are not expecting it actually to happen. So if it actually does happen, I think you have a huge downside in the stock.
That's a problem.
Yes. So you said what I'm worried about? That's what I'm worried about.
Well, just remember what the president said a week ago. I respect my own beliefs that something good could happen, but probably won't. No one will tell you that.
At least he's very confident in his projections here.
It's Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Thanks for the education, as always.
Always glad to help. And I'd love to help your listeners. I get emails all the time, and always glad to help them.
Right there at moneyanswers.com.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I lost everything. It just wiped me out. And this is my first hurricane, so, I'm scared. This is my home.
What about your friends and family? Where are they at, man?
I don't know. There's been no cell service since Thursday, Friday. Haven't gotten a hold of anybody. If my mom and dad's watching, I'm okay.
Heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking. I'm not sure if that's as Ryan Burroughs does this now. I'm not sure if that's the same kid we saw earlier who broke down while he was reconnected with his dad. But those stories are being repeated, Ryan, all over Houston this morning.
Can I tell you one story that we saw? This would have been 2 days ago. A woman getting off a bus after a frantic evacuation at the George R. Brown Convention Center. She had a girl with her, not her daughter, not her relative. Didn't know where the girl came from. Apparently, the girl had gotten split up with some friends or something like that. And when the bus came, essentially said, come on, we got to get on this bus. So when this girl, who appeared to be maybe 9-10 years old, arrived, they didn't know who she belonged to, who she was with, and the Red Cross was doing everything they could. The girl didn't know her address. They tried to talk to her about what school she went to, and so they were kind of getting some leads that way. But these are the heartbreaking stories that are happening day in, day out here as these evacuations are underway.
Ryan Burroughs is live in Houston. There was a story that came out last night. I don't know if you know any developments on it, about an alligator park, a reptile sanctuary with over 350 alligators in it that was a foot from going over its safety fences where the alligators could swim free. Do we know anything on that?
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have any information on that story. We know that there have been reports of people who have seen snakes in their house, around their house. It's been a very, very weird scenario where wildlife also trying to seek refuge as well as human life.
So the best case scenario now is that the storms do move, even though it's bad news. At least it looks like with the latest weather maps for New Orleans and for western Louisiana, and move long enough so the rain can dissipate, the floodwaters can start to subside. But then is that when the real work begins?
It is, because the floodwaters, they've got nowhere to go right now. I mean, all of this water eventually needs to make its way to the Gulf, and it could take weeks. In fact, some of these reservoirs that are letting out water say that the water that's falling into them right now, the water alone could be there for 1 to 3 months. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be in the neighborhoods that long, but just the water itself will be there. So this is going to be a long process. We tend to want to think of this as being just a couple days. Okay, these people will be out of the shelters, but no. I don't know where this water is going to go. And really, until there is a long, substantial period of time where there's no rain, these waters won't go down at all.
I know that the convention center, is it a convention center where you were yesterday?
I think it is, yeah.
They have done an amazing job at taking people in, but they're apparently double the capacity they could normally hold. We remember what happened at the Superdome in Louisiana after Katrina, where people just couldn't take the conditions, and they were hurt and hostile and upset and angry to begin with, and a lot of problems broke out. We know there's security on hand, but is there a way to get the provisions, the food, and everything else they need there?
You know, we talked to Red Cross there yesterday. They said they had the ability to handle 20,000 people. Now, they said at that point that the max capacity inside of that space was 5,000 people. They are now, according to a note we just got from Tom Yamas, who is there from ABC, they are now at 9,000. So they are 4,000 over what they said capacity would be. They're not turning anyone away, but they are definitely looking at other options right now as far as where they can possibly move people to, especially in that area, in that downtown area of Houston. The Toyota Center is there. I don't know if that's an option. That's where the Houston Rockets play. You know, there have been discussions about maybe other venues that might become available as well. It does not sound right now inside that there is the same kind of situation and the chaos that we saw back during Hurricane Katrina. But, you know, 9,000 people packed in small quarters over several days, that could change. There is security there. There are health resources, and they hope they've got enough at least to get them to a point where they can start shifting people around.
And finally, in your sense of covering this story, where do you imagine you'll be going today?
Actually, it sounds as though Joel Osteen is opening up his church, not only the second floor to evacuees, but they're also using it as a center for people to drop off supplies that they then give to the Red Cross. So we are going to go over there and talk to some people. We've got some people actually staying at the hotel who have essentially been stranded here, don't have any place to stay. So maybe we'll walk over there with them and see if that's an option for them.
Thank you, sir. Ryan Burrow, live in Houston. Dean Richards coming up after the news. And we'll talk some show business and stuff. And then we got to get to a couple of these Trump stories that we haven't had time to cover today as well. Busy show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
It is 8:14. Dean Richards live at Channel 9. How are things there this morning?
Oh, fantastic.
How are they really?
Couldn't be better, Steve. A number one.
We'll be live on CLTV as always this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. How are things at CLTV next door?
Well, I'm looking over there now. Everybody looks sad. You know why?
Why?
Because they said Steve's not on right now.
Ah, it's 45 minutes away.
Yeah, they have it's a morning ritual here called pre-Steve.
Yes.
Malaise.
Yes. It's a medical condition. Right. Why are you going to L.A.?
I'm going to talk to our friend Jeff Gold Garland.
Jeff Gold Garland?
Well, his show is Goldberg's. His show is the Goldbergs, but he is actually Jeff Garland, our good friend.
He's got Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's got his Goldberg situation.
Steve, I don't know if you know that the Goldbergs will soon be seen every weeknight here on WGN television.
You watch the show?
I do watch the show.
What do you think? Do you find it delightful?
I do find it funny.
Okay.
I've asked Jeff if there's some way that he can cut the underpants scenes a little bit.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff of him in his underpants.
He's in tidy whiteys too. At least put some boxers on or something.
That was the legally mandated male underpant of the 80s.
Well, that's true, I guess.
That was long before Tommy John. And you know, there's a golf company that's put out golfers' underwear now, and they're called Two Under.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, see what they did there?
That's clever.
Very comfortable.
Is there really?
Yes, but if you're willing to pay for good underpants now, Dave... Mm-hmm. And I mean 15 or 20 bucks a pair, sometimes more. You can get yourself a nice pair of underpants. It used to be the specific jurisdiction of women only. Now you can get yourself nice underpants for you.
You know, you're the only one I know who uses the term underpants.
It's a funny word.
Oh, you do, Dean?
It's a funny word.
Golf underpants.
The singular reason I use it is a funny word.
It's a funny word.
Can you get a wedgie with those golf underpants?
No, they're wedgie proof. Yeah.
I agree with Steve. A good underpants is worth its weight in gold.
There's no question about it. And there's nothing like a high-powered executive in comfortable underpants.
You can tell. A person has confidence. You feel literally and figuratively, emotionally, you feel better in good underpants.
You see a dude on the street with a hitch in his giddy-up? Bad underpants.
I just want to point out to everybody on WGN, 50,000 watt, one of the most respected radio stations
in the world.
Topic for the last 5 minutes has been underpants.
Underpants. That's exactly right. Hamilton's in the news. Kevin Hart's in the news. Selena Gomez.
There's nude pictures of Justin Bieber without underpants.
And there's a weird Gone with the Wind controversy.
Yes, there is.
The Game of Thrones story. All that coming up. Stand by. 8:17. Make it 8:18. Here's Mary with the traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, Hamilton tickets on sale this morning. That's right, Steve. Hamilton tickets are on sale this morning.
Steve Hamilton tickets are going on sale.
What tickets?
A new block of tickets.
Wow.
That will take the show now until April of next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. They will range $65 to $190. There's a 12-ticket limit per person. You can purchase them by phone. You can purchase them at BroadwayInChicago.com through Ticketmaster at the Private Bank Theaters box office on Monroe Street between Wabash and State Street on Monroe at the box office. I imagine people are always in line. But I have to emphasize, Steve, that you cannot get tickets. I repeat, you cannot get tickets by asking me 10 or 12 times a day, hey, can you get me Hamilton tickets?
Hello, Dean. Dean, it's Bobby Schimmelwitz.
Remember?
I sat behind you in fourth grade.
Exactly. I can't even tell you how many people sat behind me in fourth grade.
Right, right. Now on tickets now.
When it comes to trying to get some tickets for something one way or the other.
My favorite is when they throw in something like this. Hey, and do me a favor. Say hi to Eric and Kathy. They do the show there, don't they? No, nah, it's the wrong station.
Yeah. Number one, I can't. I'm not a Ticketmaster, and I can't get you tickets.
Nope.
Number one.
Nope.
But number two, I have a two-decade rule. If I haven't spoken to you since the 1980s, probably not going to be able to work any magic for you.
Well, you and Andrea and Devlantis as well, you all suffer from the same problem. You're related to one-third of the population
of
Chicago.
True. That is very true.
So we can't help either. Kevin Hart is telling celebs, step up and help Houston.
Yeah, he made a very generous donation to help the people and what they're going through at following the hurricane and tropical storm in Houston. Didn't stop there, though. He went on social media, posted a video calling out celebrities by name, like, hey, Beyonce and Jay-Z, where's your donation? The Rock, where's yours? Steve Harvey, Justin Timberlake are the names in particular that he called out to make donations. Now, it's very possible that these people did make donations and just mm-hmm. didn't make a big deal out of the whole thing.
Well, it's funny that Kevin Hart's making fun of him.
I guess it is.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez had her Instagram account hacked. But Steve, this is a new thing now. So you could take naked pictures that you weren't even involved with and throw them on your account?
Well, apparently there was some involved. Well, I'm not even 100% sure if that's true or not. But there, Selena Gomez is the most followed person on Instagram.
Right, after me.
Like you, mm-hmm. 125 million followers Instagram.
Yep.
Somebody hacked the account yesterday, went on it, and posted naked pictures of Justin Timberlake. Excuse me while I pause for a moment.
Bieber?
Justin Bieber. Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Because you just broke another story.
Wow.
Justin Timberlake, as far as we know, still has his pants on.
Right, right. His wife, who listens to this show every day, just went,
yeah.
Oh, Justin?
What?
What? Justin Bieber's nude photos. Posted those on Selena Gomez's site because they used to famously date.
Mm-hmm.
These pictures apparently were taken when Bieber was on vacation in Bora Bora with a different girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
And posted there. But either way.
What's with all the naked picture taking, people? Just have sex and put your clothes back on.
Stop taking pictures. Do you got to take pictures of yourself naked?
Please. Really?
Steve, and I'm talking to you in particular. I'm not talking to the...
Listen, let me tell you something. I've given up. I tried to get mine marketed. I couldn't get anybody to bite. Nobody but.
So anyway, Selena's Instagram was taken down. The pictures were taken down. Everything is
down.
So to speak.
A star. Yeah, by the way, we hear he has tats everywhere. A star from Straight Outta Compton went nuts on an airplane?
Yeah, he played Eazy-E in the movie. His name is Jason Mitchell, who I've interviewed several times, and he could not be a nicer guy.
And got a lot of great hype from the movie.
Huge, great dramatic hype, maybe one of the breakout stars of the movie for sure. He's in this new movie, Detroit, that's out right now and is very good.
Right.
He could not be a nicer guy. In real life,
so
could
what
not
happened?
Be a nicer guy. But he gets on a Delta flight. Somebody is in the seat that to which he is assigned. And, you know, that's, you know, if you've been on.
It happens. You take flights, it's awkward, but it happens.
You go there and it's like, well, here's my boarding pass. Where's your boarding pass? You figure it out. But apparently they both had the boarding pass for the seat. The guy who was in the seat was not moving.
Right.
And there is TMZ video, extremely graphic, extremely profane video of Jason Mitchell having a complete meltdown on the plane, calling out the guy, calling out the.
So the guy shows him, I've got the same boarding pass you have, and he still wants him to move?
Yeah.
Well, why? Because he's a movie star?
I don't know. As I said, my experience with him, super nice, super down to earth. But man, was he had a super, super meltdown, was taken off the plane in handcuffs.
I've not seen the video. It sounds like he was completely out of line. Does it appear to be the case?
He was certainly completely out of control. I mean, that's if that happens, that's obviously not the best way to resolve a seating issue.
Let me go live to Sandberg. She's on a Delta flight right now. Sandberg, what do you know?
This is what I know, that he actually, the star you're referring to, missed the flight he was booked on.
Okay.
Was rebooked on the second flight. When he was rebooked on it, they didn't rebook him in first class, so he was going off information from his original ticket.
Okay.
So the gentleman he was yelling at was correctly in his seat, because that's...
And the configuration of the plane changed?
He was looking at the boarding pass from the previous
flight. From the previous flight. He just assumed he was getting in his same... But he was rebooked in a coach, you know, not even in for.
But here's the thing.
Because he missed his flight.
If Dave is in a seat and he shows me a boarding pass that's the same as mine, then that's an airline error. I don't get to yell at Dave.
Sometimes when you're in the mood to yell at somebody, you might just want to yell at
them. Not like this. Not on an airplane where you're going to, I mean, you know, everybody has a bad day. Everyone's in a bad mood once in a while. On an airplane, you're completely nuts if you do that, because you are going to be arrested immediately if anyone feels like you're in any way a threat to the safety of everybody on the plane.
Can't have it. Can't tolerate it. Now, I will say,
and again, talking to you, Steve, about that.
Well, the only time it's okay to do that is if somebody leans back while I'm sitting behind them.
Yeah, that's the worst.
No, don't do that.
That's the worst. I'm not a recliner. When I sit on a plane, I do not recline
my seat. We get our own space. We sit at our own space. We get off the plane.
I think it's very rude to recline. I
completely agree. It's not a Barca lounger, and it's not your house.
Right.
Like this morning, I got really angry at my house because we are having our driveway sealed today.
And you yelled at the guy from the movie? Straight Outta Compton?
But I had told my husband multiple times yesterday, park in our neighbor Lynn's driveway because they're going to be there at 8 a.m. and we can't drive on the driveway. You know, so I opened the garage this morning.
Mm-mm.
Two cars in the garage.
Mm-mm.
Drove right up the driveway you just had done?
No, it's not done yet. So I had to move his car to the neighbor's driveway this morning, even though I told him yesterday, park when you get home, because he was getting home at midnight.
And
or
you
whatever.
Had to do it at 4 a.m.
I had to do it at 4 a.m. So I was stomping around in the kitchen.
And if you check TMZ, Steve, there is a video.
The video of it would not be very pretty.
Right.
So
TMZ gets everything.
Yeah. By the way, here's something for TMZ, Dean. I don't want to say this too loud. I don't want Sandberg to hear me. So I see this text chain that I'm on last night where Sandberg and Lou are discussing one of Sandberg's neighbors and how the neighbors configured the flower pots.
Manfredini?
Manfredini.
Yeah.
And they both agree that the little flower pot in the middle of the three similar flower pots just doesn't belong, and it drives them both crazy.
Wow.
I think steamy, crazy is the word we're looking for.
Steamy texting.
Steve suggested that we both go to therapy.
Yeah.
That's called. That's called horta texting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the technical
term. All right, why can't Gone with the Wind be shown?
So there's a theater in Memphis. It's a historic old theater called the Orpheum Theater there. For the last 34 years, they have shown Gone with the Wind.
I've been in that theater.
On big screen.
It's legendary.
It's a legendary. They show movies. They have live performances, everything there, historic. And one of their annual things was to show Gone with the Wind there, but with all of the controversy, they say it's not because of the controversy, but it's more than coincidental that with all the controversy over which statues are appropriate and which are not right now, the Orpheum Theater announced that they, quote, cannot show a film that is insensitive to a large segment of its local population. They're calling the film racially insensitive.
Well, it is just out. We really haven't had a chance to examine it yet.
Really chew it up a little bit, right? The movie came out
ridiculous.
Like 2 years after the Civil War, basically.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
It was 1939, actually, is when it came out. It's about the Civil War. It's about that period in time. But there were people who were threatening to boycott the theater if they showed the film again. Critics are saying that, you know, you're censoring art. It's a representation of life during the Civil War.
Yeah, seriously, people in Memphis or wherever you are, if you're going to Memphis, get a sponge mop and head for Houston. Do something that matters.
Yeah, go to Beale Street and have some barbecue. Relax.
And finally, Game of Thrones ratings. How good?
Pretty huge. 12.5 million people tuned in on Sunday night for the season finale. If you add in the ratings for the HBO online platforms, brings it up to 16.5 million people. That is a record for HBO and for Game of Thrones.
Our insensitive president said that he announced the Joe Arpaio pardon Friday night because he knew the ratings would be really high on the news networks. Imagine if he had known about Game of Thrones.
Should have done it. He should have dressed up in a dragon suit and announced the pardon there.
The dragons would never wear ties that long. All right, safe trip to L.A., but
I'll talk to you tomorrow from there.
See you later. It's 8:33. Back after this with the big story on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A45, one of the biggest problems right now is there's, and Dumpty, I don't know if you covered this because I was out of the room during a portion of the big story, but there's something called Addicks Dam, A-D-D-I-I-C-K, or I should say I-C-K-S, Addicks Dam, that has begun overspilling in Houston. It's a major dam outside of Houston, and as this dam begins overspilling, efforts to ease the reservoir levels have been unable to stop the water from rising. They basically took water into one of the bayous that runs into downtown Houston and increased the water there, releasing some of the water from the dam in hopes that it would keep the water from rising. It hasn't worked. Flood control official Jeff Linder says water levels are now over the height of the reservoir edge. Unprecedented rainfall continues. If the spillover would not cause the Addicks Dam to fail, but it would add more water to the Buffalo Bayou, which is already the main river into the fourth largest city in the country. And officials are also concerned about the Barker Dam, which controls the Buffalo Bayou west of Houston. Someone who knows this city well, and we got a lot to talk about here, including his memoir, but is astronaut Scott Parazynski with NASA, who, of course, is based in Houston. And, Scott, I'm sorry for what you're going through there.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, it is just a crazy time here in our beautiful city of Houston. It's almost unrecognizable, the scenes that we're seeing on TV. We're just kind of hunkered down in our own neighborhood, but it's really going to change the character of Houston for many months.
Change the paint the picture for us, if you will, a little bit for those of us who don't know the Houston area. Huge city, fourth largest city in the country by population, right behind Chicago for that matter. And is it the downtown area that is the most hard hit by this, or west or east, or where's the worst?
It's hard to describe, actually, because you know the bands of rain have dropped pockets of, you know, huge deluges of water all around the city, including to the southeast where I used to live, down by the NASA Johnson Space Center. But, outside of the 610 and Beltway 8 loops, actually, there are a lot of areas that are affected by the spillover from the reservoirs, as I understand it. This is a huge sprawling city with, suburban growth everywhere in every direction. So, downtown, at least where I'm currently located, is not that hard hit. In fact, the floodwaters have receded. My home, thankfully, was not breached, but I know that there are hundreds of thousands of families around the area that are really struggling right now.
Well, God bless everybody there, and my best to you and the people you care most about. I want to talk about your book here, but I don't know how much time we have. Are you still okay for a couple minutes?
I sure am, absolutely.
All right, the book's called The Sky Below, A True Story of Summit Space and Speed. Scott, an accomplished astronaut of considerable renown, let me just throw a few things out here. 5 NASA spaceflight medals, 2 NASA Distinguished Service Medals, 2 NASA Exceptional Service Medals, and now you've got a startup going on, a tech startup. What do you guys do?
My company is called Fluidity Technologies, and we're essentially commercializing technology that has its pedigree in the space program, but robotic controls for anything that moves through physical or virtual space. So think about drones to surgical robots and augmented reality. And we're also leveraging artificial intelligence. So we can make people a much better pilot than they could actually be with their own hands. And so really incredible capabilities that I think are going to change the world.
You did 7 spacewalks in your NASA career. It is one, to me, it's one of the most underrated or underreported pieces of space travel, and incredibly adventurous, even though it looks like, oh, there's a guy floating outside with a wrench. explain to people how big a deal it is to be able to go outside a spacecraft.
It's the ultimate human experience. There's nothing that can prepare you for the enormity of the view and the life experience of, you know, being outside in your own personal spaceship. Everything that you need to sustain life in a space shuttle or a space station has to be built around the astronaut. And when you float out that hatch, traveling at 17,500 miles an hour, you know, seeing a sunrise or sunset every 45 minutes as you orbit the Earth, it's just beyond extraordinary. Feel so incredibly fortunate to have been able to do that, and also to do some really exciting work to build the International Space Station.
Sure.
And on my very best day, to help repair it, a live solar panel that was never meant to be visited by astronauts, we, as a team, had to figure out a way to go repair it, and a lot of that is detailed in my book, The Sky Below.
The mission that you are assigned on each individual spacewalk has to be accomplished to the best of your ability, but the first time you go out there, maybe it's every time you go out there, how is it not just emotional? To me, you go outside the first time, I don't know how you don't just lose it.
Well, we're very, very, very well trained. You know, we have an incredible facility here at the Johnson Space Center in Houston that has a full mock-up of the International Space Station and the Space Shuttle Payload Bay. So we train every nuance, every detail of the spacewalks that we're about to do. Except if the spacewalk happens to be unscripted, if there's an emergency repair, then you're a little bit more left to your devices, but. So your head is in the game as you're doing your work out there, but then every once in a while you look up and, oh, yeah, there's Mount Everest, or there's the Great Barrier Reef. It's just, you know, it's sort of an out-of-body experience.
Speaking of Mount Everest, you climbed the summit, you competed to make the Luge Olympic team, and you've been to space. I don't know if anybody else has done those big three, have they?
No, but I hope others will follow. You know, that we live in an exciting time when, you know, companies like Virgin Galactic and SpaceX and Blue Origin in the not too distant future are going to be taking many more people up into space. And so I think that's a really exciting evolution in human history when, you know, the heavens are going to be opened up for many more people to experience some of the things that I have.
Have you followed the story of the Kelly brothers, who I'm sure you know, but the idea of being taking identical twins and one to space for a year and have a real time, real world study of what space travel does to a body? Have you followed that story?
Very, very closely. In fact, both are good buddies of mine. And, you know, I am very proud of my friend Scott Kelly, who spent a consecutive year off of the planet. That's a really tough hardship, I think, 340 days off of the planet. But, yeah, some really wonderful science will come out of the studies that you know, compare Mark's experiences. He was a shuttle astronaut, but
right.
He did the long-duration flights to his brother Scott.
So one of the great physical ailments that can develop from being an astronaut is your back, right?
Well, unfortunately, testament to that, yes. Since every time we go up into space, we actually grow quite a bit. I grow from my 6'3 earthbound height to 6'5 and a half, almost worthy of the NBA.
Yeah, you could dunk.
Yeah, oh, easy. But as soon as I get back to Earth, you know, that height is actually stripped from me, and it, my spine gets compressed back down. And
that's
those
wild.
Repeated extension compression cycles probably set me up for a back injury later in life. I ended up, sadly, rupturing my lumbar spine at very high altitude on Mount Everest back in 2008. And my neurosurgeon concluded that it was as a result of my spaceflight.
How did you get down?
No one can carry you down. There's absolutely no one.
So you walked down, you scaled down with a broken back?
Essentially, yes. Yeah, from 24,500 feet.
Well, of course you did.
Well, you know, on the bright side, I had an unlimited supply of ice. So
Right.
I would just lay down every 20 or 30 minutes and ice my back down and then get back up because it was the only option available to me.
And to take it full circle, there's a reason astronauts throughout the years, going back to when I was a kid in the Apollo program, thanked the hundreds and thousands of people like my dad. My dad made a tiny part of the Apollo rocket, and I was as proud of him as I was if he'd been one of the guys walking on the moon. And
of
the people involved with all of that are the reasons that Scott's alive, because you go outside a spaceship for a spacewalk, it's 250 degrees below zero, and the fabric better hold, right?
Yeah, it's a team of brilliant engineers and scientists and technicians who make it all possible. It literally tens of thousands of, you know, America's best and brightest make it possible. And you know, my father actually was an Apollo engineer as well. My first view of the space program came as his son getting a chance to see some of the early launches. And yeah.
Well, God bless you, and please, our best to all of you in Houston. I can't imagine the nightmare you're going through, but I'm glad you were able to do this because I wanted to make sure people knew about the book as well. And as always, you're careless people. Get two copies. You might lose one. It's The Sky Below, a true story of Summit, Space, and Speed, again, from Scott Parazynski. And we will talk to you soon, I hope. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
914. Jake, see if you can find out if that alligator sanctuary overflowed its safety fence yet. 350 alligators in Houston, less than a foot away from freedom. Good for the alligators. Bad for everybody else. Probably isn't even good for the alligators.
It really sounds like Sharknado, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of come to life.
Short of the flying.
Yeah.
But the nightmare in Houston continues. If we have time, or if he has time, Ryan Burrow will join us before 10 o'clock. Patty Vasquez is still to come as well. Welcome back to the studio, the highly pregnant Stephanie Summers, who was just a little pregnant last time she was here. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Nice
Stephanie
to see
Summers
you.
Gresh, actually, is my...
Oh, you're do the full thing, because that's a lot for me.
Okay.
I don't have that kind of time to get your full name in. Stephanie Summers Gresh, and you have with you, will you introduce him?
Oh, me introduce Cletus?
You get to introduce
How
me.
How do I introduce you, Cletus?
How about he's a
Cletus
legendary
Friedman,
chef.
Legendary chef in Chicago.
Right. And chairing,
I was hoping to get that from you, Steve.
And chairing an all-star culinary event that we're about to plug here.
Yes.
But first off, is your joint open yet?
We are not open yet. We're opening late September, Theater on the Lake.
I thought it was called the Lakefront. It's Theater on the Lake.
So the restaurant is called the Lakefront. The project is Theater on the Lake.
Yeah. How has there not been a restaurant in Chicago called the Lakefront?
You would think, right?
Right. Were you amazed when you realized that name hadn't been taken?
I thought about it, and we said it's got to be taken, and thankfully it
Look
hasn't
at that.
Been.
Look yeah. at that. The reason everybody's getting together, of course, is once again a benefit to fight the scourge of scleroderma. Explain what scleroderma is.
Scleroderma is an autoimmune disease, which basically means your body is attacking itself. Mm-hmm. And the most common result is the hardening of your tissues. So externally, your skin is hardening. Some patients have described it as turning to stone. And then internally, that can happen as well. So, for example, I lost my mom to scleroderma,
right.
And her tissues in her lungs were scarring so that she couldn't breathe.
So that's how it kills. It just basically mm-hmm. shuts down your breathing.
Yeah, when it attacks your internal organs.
Is it rare?
I don't like to use the term rare because I find that it's, you know, we come across it all the time. I also find that so many people are misdiagnosed. There's so many cases out there of people not getting the right diagnosis. Yeah. It's almost, it's comparable, I would say, almost to MS in terms of number of people. So,
well, that's amazing.
I don't consider it rare.
Is it underfunded?
It is. There's very little government funding, so it's really up to organizations like ours to go out and raise the money to keep research moving forward.
Now, most devastating diseases have family members that are the engines behind them, but it mm-hmm. seems like scleroderma is almost exclusively people who have been instantly affected by it.
Yeah, I mean, most people, I think, you know, including our family, we had never even heard of scleroderma until mom was diagnosed, and then you come to find, you know, how devastating this disease can be, and how little funding there is. And so you just, you know, we wanted to get involved. And that's, you know, same thing with Cletus.
Yeah, my father actually had it in his lung as well.
Is that right?
Which is the irony of Steph and I being together. He died in 91, diagnosed, and then a year later he was gone. So when I opened up City Provisions, I wanted to put together some kind of a fundraiser where we can raise awareness and my idea of a fundraiser was getting food and booze all in one roof. And,
sure.
Having people come in.
And people have a good time and leave some money behind.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, so Cooking Up a Cure, going to happen where and when?
Cooking Up a Cure is at Galleria Marchetti, mm-hmm. September 14th.
It's a great room.
It's a beautiful room. We really utilize the space nicely. There's that space to the right that we have for VIP. This year we have Old Irving Brewing coming in and Chef Michael Schrader doing beer and cocktail pairings. And then we have the big event in the main room, and we also have outside. Outside, we kind of create the environment of barbecue, with smoked barbecue. We have drinks and cigars, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and, of course, the silent auction.
Got it all covered. It's 825 West Erie, 530 for VIP, 630 for general admission. What do you have to do to be a VIP?
Spend more money.
Okay. How much more?
It's $185 for VIP tickets, $125 for general admission. But
$185 for what you're describing.
Yeah,
that's great
for all that you get for the evening. And $125 for general admission, which is what you would spend going out, you know, in Chicago anyway. And you get to try 20 plus restaurants.
Here you're getting all the great food and booze.
And we're actually going to give your listeners a discount too.
I'm fascinated with Cletus Friedman, as all people are who meet Cletus. How'd you get into chefing?
When I was 14, my mother wanted me to get a job. And when I was 14, there were two things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a comedian and I wanted to be a chef. And she basically pushed me out into the workforce, and I became a busboy at the Mount Washington Tavern. And
figured out that maybe food might be a good thing for you.
Yeah, and then I never left. I started seeking out chefs. I wanted to work.
I've known a lot of Friedmans. I've never known a Cletus Friedman.
See?
So where'd the name come from?
That's a long story. We don't have time for it.
I'll be the judge. It's my show. Is there a Cletus a family name?
Cletus is not a family name. It was luckily bestowed on me about 30 years ago.
Somebody, a friend, a family member?
A friend, yeah.
What's the birth name?
I'm going to do that on the radio?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what's your birth name?
I was born as John, J-O-N. It's the first time I ever said that on the radio.
Cletus Friedman is so much cooler.
Isn't it, though?
It is. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Cletus Friedman. From a long line of Friedmans, give it up for Cletus Friedman.
Give it up for Steve Cochran getting that out of me. Good job. Nice work.
Well, it's a hard question, really. That's the thing. So brag about a few of your friends you've dragged into this as chair.
Who do we have this year? We have Andres Padilla from Frontera Grill in Lena Brava. Mm-hmm. We have Smoke Barbecue. We have Beguile Brewery. We have Stone. We have Few Spirits. We have Deep Eddy.
So we no shortage of
Nate
booze.
Nate Sears. No shortage of booze.
It's a hooch festival, but the food, just any palate would be pleased with what you're going to be on.
I mean, literally, you have everybody. There's Jason Hamill over from Lula, Rick Gresh, my old friend Rick Gresh from Ace Bounce. You get to be around all the great chefs in one night, and when Stephanie says you can go out to dinner and spend that, you can't
easily.
You can't go out and have all these chefs doting on you
in a great space like Galleria.
That's beautiful.
How rare is scleroderma?
Well, the best estimate that we have is about 300,000 people. But again, I think there are so many people out there. You know, it's hard to talk to a patient that didn't take years to be diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So that's part of our mission is, you know, raising awareness and making sure that people are getting properly diagnosed so that they can get the treatment that they need. So
is there a hereditary component to it?
No, there's a genetic component. So they think that people, there's a genetic predisposition to get it. But it's not necessarily passed down to family members.
So that's not something that you and your family have to be concerned with, which is
not
obviously a relief.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm.
Or you and yours.
Yep.
Is there a breakthrough on the horizon? The doctors you talk to, does anybody say, hey, we're getting closer?
Well, the challenge is because of all the different the ways that scleroderma affects the body. So one of the things that they're studying is fibrosis, right? So fibrosis is very common in a lot of diseases. And it happens to be one of the reasons, like in our parents' case, the reason for fatalities. So they have had some breakthroughs in terms of trying to stop the fibrosis, because as of right now there is no drug they can give you to just completely stop the fibrosis. So that's one of the things.
And scleroderma, again, if you're having trouble visualizing it, it sounds like fibrosis times 100 or 1,000.
Yeah, imagine, and one of the most habits in your hands mostly. So imagine not being able to use your hands or not being able to straighten your hands.
One of the rewarding things about doing these events now for 9 years is that, and having lost my dad over 20 years ago, is to see how people know the name scleroderma and they're understanding it, and there's so much more awareness than there was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. 9 years ago, it was almost nobody knew what you were talking about. And today, you know, one out of a few people have heard it and they understand it, which is, you know, the goal.
And the money is going to go to the Scleroderma Foundation of Chicago?
Correct. Greater Chicago chapter. Yep.
Which I assume is research and also spreading the word on the disease money can be generated.
Yeah, well, we do patient support. So if folks are affected, they can come to us for the right resources and support. But then obviously a big part of our mission is supporting that research. So, yeah.
And caregivers probably need some advice, too. And you got people who have walked the walk like you two.
Yep.
Nice to see both of you. How far are we away from your first baby?
Oh, about 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Can we keep some water boiled? I never know what it's for, but I used to see it on TV a lot.
It's something spicy.
Are you excited?
Very excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is your first baby?
Yep. It sure is.
And you decided not to name it Dave or Steve. We're okay with that because it's a girl.
We've ruled that out. Yeah. We've ruled out Dave and Steve.
It's a little girl.
Or a girl.
It is a little girl.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Would you like Stephanie to come back in like 6 weeks? And
if you'd have the baby live on the
air,
that would be...
5 and a half weeks.
Listen, we're the number one talk show in town. But if you'd have the baby live on the air, it couldn't hurt. Just saying. Again, it's Cletus Friedman. Not just any Friedman. It's Cletus Friedman.
You know it.
Absolutely. How many tats do you have?
One.
Is that right?
No, that's not right.
So. You wouldn't lie to me, Cletus. And Cletus wants you to come to the All-Star Culinary Event Thursday, September 14th. Galleria Marchetti, 825 West Erie, with all the great food and drink we've talked about. Stephanie Summers-Gresh, thank you as well.
Yeah, and if your listeners go out and buy tickets today, we're giving them a $20 discount on tickets. So
what?
Yeah. They just have when they get to the ticketing site, enter the code WGN.
Very nice.
Wow.
All right, if you're going to get $20 off, I'd like you to buy an extra ticket. So there you go.
There you go. And it's cookingupacurechicago.com.
Right. Cookingupacurechicago.com.
That's right.
Nice to see you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
925, more in a moment, 720 WGN. We have no update on the alligator farm situation. We tried to figure out if the alligators had escaped.
I just looked online. There's no update. It still says that.
Everything just says on the verge of escaping.
Yes. I looked too, Steve.
Yeah, so nothing new there, which is good. The last thing Houston needs right now is 350 alligators breaching their security fence and wandering the city.
350.
I'd prefer not to.
The pictures of the floating fire ants was quite interesting.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. That's not good either.
No.
Ryan Burrow is in Houston, and as time allows, we may try to get him back before 10, but he'll be reporting all day here. On 720 WGN, Patty Vasquez is scheduled to appear in just moments. We'll get to the big story before all of that next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
941, always nice to see the face of my friend Patty Vasquez. On every night from 11 till 2 in the morning. Who's up at that hour for crying out loud? Well, that's where you are. Dave, are you ever up in the middle of the night listening to Patty? I'm catching her on podcast.
I hear Patty.
You're up trying to pee? Turn the radio on?
No, I don't turn the radio on in the middle of the night. Oh. But I hear Patty when I'm driving back from Channel 9 around 11 o'clock. I hear the first hour of her program, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and highly rated. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Just back from L.A.? What were you doing there?
I was shooting a little web series for a car company that I cannot disclose, but I'm under contract.
And where will that appear? On the car company you can't disclose his website soon?
On the web. Yeah, on the interwebs.
Yeah, yes, internet thing. Very fun. That internet thing is catching on.
I think so. I think it's kind of here to stay.
Pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty strong. Have you been to Springfield lately?
I have not been to Springfield. I was not there for the drama yesterday. It was fun to watch my friends who kept putting updates that there was a compromise that failed, then the override vote failed, and then the compromise bill came back and that passed.
Right.
Did
you hear me compliment Mike Madigan?
I did not hear you compliment Mike Madigan.
That's what caused the eclipse.
Well, I believe it.
I said that the four leaders, including Mr. Madigan, deserve praise for getting it done.
I agree. It was interesting to see a picture of Leader Durkin and Speaker Madigan having a nice moment there on the floor of the House of Representatives. I hope that there is more to come of that.
So do I. Yeah, there's a lot that needs to be done. But there's interesting things in this school funding bill that finally got done that paves the way for other things. There's some dominoes that could fall that would be positive.
Yes, exactly. And hopefully it is a step forward. You know, and schools know that they have a budget. They don't have to worry about possibly closing in a few months because they don't know what is going to happen next.
Right.
And that's what they need. That's what kids need, is consistency.
Does it affect extracurricular stuff, do you know?
That I have no idea. I haven't seen any of the compromises. I know that one of the things that does, I mean, there was a battle over, obviously there was the idea that Chicago was getting too much. Then there was the compromise of making sure that there were vouchers for parents who send their kids to private schools. You know, there's hopefully something for everybody. The idea of constantly calling it a CPS bailout was, I think, troublesome to a lot of people. I think we could go around the board in Illinois and see who gets what. I don't know if you saw this map of Illinois about every dollar of revenue that is paid. Let's say out of the city of Chicago, Cook County in particular, every dollar that we pay, we get 80 cents back on the dollar in services.
In Cook County. Okay.
And there are counties south of us that for every dollar they spend in revenue, they get back $2. In services from the state.
Well, that's how the screaming headlines, and the mayor's not wrong about this, the screaming headlines that said the city is screwing the state over and over again. It's just not true.
I mean, if we did a tit for tat, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
It would, you know, if we wanted to do this back and forth, you want to talk about corruption.
Well, that would match the headlines then. If the city was getting $2 for every dollar.
Oh, people would go crazy. But 80 cents to the dollar, let's, you know, if we want to talk about fair, we could go all the way down. And
there's just no upside to this endless war with the city and the rest of the state.
Well, what about this town in Illinois? I didn't even know about this. Have you heard about this woman who was like the comptroller and treasurer? I think it was Dixon, Illinois.
Okay.
And she embezzled over decades, $53 million.
Yeah, I did hear
to buy horses. And are we punishing the entire city of Dixon? Are we taking it out on their kids because they had someone who was corrupt?
Well, you would hope. To me, the thing that I don't know about that story is who missed it?
Yeah.
Because Dixon's not a huge town.
No.
And I would think if $53 billion were missing over the course of a year, somebody would have to go, somebody check with Verna because she's got the books.
Exactly.
And a really sweet horse farm that she seems to spend a lot of time on.
What did they think? She just like came in? They must have thought that she just inherited that. How has someone not made that movie? Although I don't know what it is. You just see her write another check to herself. I don't know how much.
Right, and then you arrest her at the end and it's over.
Exactly. Although that's kind of cathartic. That feels good.
Before we talk about Houston, let's go to Washington, where President Trump and Melania, who, by the way, he'd never looked more like her father. They were just walking to the helicopter to leave to Joint Base Andrews. He put his arm on her back a couple of times. It looks like he's walking his daughter out.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. It's fine. It's totally normal. Can I just say this? There's nothing normal about any of this.
No, there absolutely isn't. Here's some sound that was accumulated yesterday. President Trump talking about the Arpaio pardon. This Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Arpaio. You say Arpaio, I say Arpaio. Talking about pardoning him during Harvey. The consensus was this is a Friday night news dump. Well, there's really no Friday night news dump anymore because it's a 24-hour news cycle. Here's how Trump explained it.
In the middle of a hurricane, even though it was a Friday evening, I assumed the ratings would be far higher than they would be normally. You know, the hurricane was just starting. And I put it out that I had pardoned, as we say, Sheriff Joe. He's done a great job for the people of Arizona. He's very strong on borders, very strong on illegal immigration. He is loved in Arizona. I thought he was treated unbelievably unfairly when they came down with their big decision to go get him right before the election voting started, as you know. And he lost in a fairly close election. He would have won the election, but they just hammered him just before the election. I thought that was a very, very unfair thing to do.
The lack of empathy just in that statement is stunning. And it goes to the questions about his mental health, his mental fitness, the fact that he has no soul and no heart. There are people in Texas who are going house to house on their boats trying to find live bodies that they could still rescue.
And putting their own lives at risk.
Absolutely.
I wonder about this rescue boat that's already capsized this morning.
And there's a pastor who last night went out at dusk and waded through waist, chest, and neck deep water, kept going underwater to submerge cars to see if there were bodies in cars or possibly somebody trapped as well. These are the people who are dealing with Houston. He's going to Houston today. Well, he's not going to Houston. He's going to Texas today for a photo op. The fact that out loud, even if that was a meeting, even if there was a meeting where somebody said, what's the best case scenario for us? Let's do it tonight because the ratings are high.
As far as Sheriff Arapo?
Or Arpaio, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that's a behind closed doors door meeting, you probably feel a little dirty about it. But to say it out loud, mm-hmm. the main reason I announced the pardoning of this guy who was clearly a racist, clearly a criminal, and convicted is the same. And he announces that we did it because we had great timing with the hurricane rolling
right.
in.
It was
I don't
bizarre.
Know who's not offended by it.
And I said that last night on my show, and people were texting in, he did not say that. And I
he just did.
Then you start doubting yourself. You're like, am I putting words into his mouth? And then I left the show last night and listened to it again. I'm like, no, that's exactly what he said.
How about the wall? We haven't heard much about the wall lately. Who's going to pay for the wall? Maybe we can get it on layaway. Let's listen.
Is your plan still to have Mexico pay for the wall?
Yes, it will. One way or the other, Mexico is going to pay for the wall. That's right. May be through reimbursement, but one way or the other, Mexico will pay for the wall. We're right now negotiating NAFTA. In my opinion, Mexico has been very difficult, as they should be. Why wouldn't they be? They had a sweetheart deal for so many years. It's one of the great deals of all time for them, one of the worst trade deals ever signed. I guarantee you, Mr. President, Finland would never have signed NAFTA with Russia or whoever you wanted to. This is not a deal that you would want to sign.
We'll come back with more of the president in his co-press conference with the president of Finland yesterday. By the way, he also threw in, Dave, I don't know if you caught this, the 100 years of love between Finland and Russia, except for 1939, right. when Russia invaded Finland and took it over.
Everyone has a dry spell.
We got to get him Wikipedia. It's 9:50. More with our friend Patty Vasquez coming up and Bill O'Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show continues. Let me get a couple more pieces of sound in here with Patty Vasquez, Dave Ennett's here, Mary on the seventh floor, Steve Grzanich out looking for snacks. Is Russia a security threat? Now, I'm going to listen to the transition here because, as you know, the president doesn't like to say bad things about Russia, though I'm sure there's no coincidence. And yesterday, the New York Times broke another story that said the president was actually signing off on a deal to have a Trump Tower put in Moscow as late as January of 2016 before the deal fell apart. This is from the president, who was then a candidate, who said he had nothing to do with Russia. Nothing.
What?
Nothing. I'm just as shocked as you are.
What?
Here's the clip.
The security situation in the Baltic region and the Baltic Sea specifically, and has been concerned about the Russian planes flying there without transponders on. Mr. Trump, would you consider Russia as a security threat? Thank you.
Well, I consider many countries as a security threat, unfortunately, when you look at what's going on in the world today.
That's it. I consider many companies.
It's a yes or no question.
Right. Is it a security threat? Isn't it?
Is it or not? Right.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah. That's yes all. No. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay.
When President Pence takes over, you know, and right now, as far as I'm concerned, he ought to be measuring for drapes.
Yikes.
Because the thing is speeding up considerably. But this, this, I don't even know if you've heard this. This may be my favorite Trump quote since "I have words, I have the best words." Remember that one?
I do. All the words.
I have all the words, I have the best words. This is President Donald Trump. 1 week ago, keep in mind, North Koreans sent a missile into Japanese airspace last night.
Mm-hmm.
1 week ago, the Trumpster thought he had him right where he wanted, and he said this.
I respect the fact that I believe he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. Respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that.
Who's they? Are we they?
We don't know who they are. It's probably me.
Yes,
they
it's you, specifically.
But let me read it back to you. Let me go to the transcriber here. I respect the fact that I believe that he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. I respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that. In other words, he's saying he respects what he believes, even though he doesn't think anything good will come out of it.
You know, I
and
think
maybe, probably not.
I think it's a matter of punctuation here. Because
ooh.
I think in the first sentence, Steve, go back to that. He says, I respect that, comma, I believe.
I respect the fact.
I respect
that
the
I
fact
believe,
that. I believe. So he's pausing for emphasis and saying, I believe. So it's he's continuing his sentence. So,
but can you respect yourself? Self-respect,
sure.
I suppose.
You respect yourself?
And not that much. Self-respect.
I love that he's inserting punctuation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the problem we all have. We've never seen anything like this in the president's chair. So therefore, we all back it up and analyze it like it's a Zapruder film. Hold on. Here's what he had to mean, because there's no way that that could have meant that.
And I love how the audience is like, yeah, yeah, that's great. And then they're probably afterwards going, what? You know?
Let me hear one more time.
I respect the fact that I believe he is starting to respect us. I respect that fact very much. Respect that fact. And maybe, probably not, but maybe something positive can come about. They won't tell you that.
They being.
I swear, it just gives you a headache. What time are you on tonight?
I am on at 11 p.m. tonight.
Got a plug?
We have Todd Belcour, who is the executive director for Social Change. He has an international film festival coming up, which is featured in three cities throughout the United States.
Nice.
Filmmakers from around the world submit films about social injustice and what's going on.
Anything else you want to plug?
Sure. I'm. You know what? Coming up on September 18th is the final Funny Females at Zanies on Wells. I've been hosting this showcase for almost eight years, and I've been very proud to be a part of it. Zanies is changing their format to headlining sets only all week long, no more showcases.
Okay.
So I'd love to have people come and hang out with us on September 18th for the very last Funny Females with Patty Baskin.
September 18th. Yeah, Zanies is a good time anytime, but definitely that's kind of a historic night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the longest running and most successful showcase that they've ever had.
Really?
So and maybe, probably not.
So that means you're not, you are maybe not probably coming?
Probably maybe not, but maybe I maybe. Probably will. It's a couple minutes before 10. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. Listen to Patty tonight or catch her on the podcast. Patty Vasquez, 11 p. to 2 a. and podcast at WGNradio.com. Back after this.
And maybe, probably not.